You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension not only of sight and of sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the narrow mind. Sound
because I got funk in my shoe.
You know it's Atheistic Wednesday. Yes, that's the discomforter, folks. The atheist that used the funk in the shoe argument against Christianity. We're going to be talking about atheism today, about unbelief, about some of the arguments that we as Christians should be using and employing against unbelievers to show them and to demonstrate to them the futility of their unbelief. Let's talk to our guest today, Cy from proofthatgodexists.org. Cy, are you with us?
I'm with you, Gene.
All right. I'm not sure what's going on with that phone line over there, but for some reason we're getting like a one-way call. You can hear us, but we can't hear you. But sounds like we've got a good connection now.
Seems to happen every time I'm on the show. There's some kind of glitch. Somebody doesn't want us on this show together.
Yeah, it's very strange, isn't it? We've got a real clear connection, though, now.
Wonderful.
You sound like you're sitting here in studio.
Well, the funny thing is I'm actually in the United States of America, the old USA. I'm in North Carolina visiting some family.
Oh, wow.
But I guess down here I should really be saying the NSM, the United States of America. I'm having a great time. I got a chance to meet Dustin and Sterling. They contribute frequently to this show and also to your site, and I had a wonderful meeting with them on Sunday.
That's
Spent
great.
The day with them. So.
You went to their church on Sunday?
I did indeed.
Cool. So tell us about your website, proofthatgodexists.org.
Well, it's basically a site based on presuppositional apologetics. And it's an interactive site. You visit the site and you work through it and you get to the proof that God exists. Now, one thing, of course, I want to stress, like last time I was on the show as well, is that I'm not trying to prove that God exists, because the Bible teaches that everybody knows that God exists. So trying to prove that God exists, I think, is actually unbiblical. So all I'm doing is showing that God exists, and I'm trying to reveal those who are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. So I'm trying to expose their suppression of truth. And that's hopefully what the site does. It's upsetting a lot of atheists who don't like the claims that are made in the site, but I've not yet heard a refutation of any of them.
What kind of feedback have you been getting from atheists?
Well, the different steps in the site, first I go through whether laws of logic exist and whether laws of science and mathematics exist, and they don't seem to have any problem admitting that those laws exist, that they're absolute, that they're universal, that they're immaterial. But as soon as we get to the absolute laws of morality, then they always have hang-ups there. And I was actually, like, I thank you for allowing me to start a thread on your forum at your website, because I was wondering from fellow people, presuppositionalists, whether I should actually remove that step. Now, we all believe that laws of morality are absolute. Mm-hmm. However, every atheist that comes to this site does not want to confess that, although they do believe it. So that's what I'm getting. I'm getting a lot of hang-ups on that site, but it's not essential to the proof. So that's actually what I want some feedback from some of the Christians who are listening to this site as well. But, of course, they feel that morality is individual. I mean, you've heard all the arguments mm-hmm. along that line as well. But and that's actually when I was on last time, the caller, that's as far as they would get to the laws of morality. But if you eliminate that site, then you go into the characteristics of the laws, whether they're universal, whether they're immaterial, and whether they're changing. And then those things are all necessary for proof to be possible. And one thing I was wondering, thinking about just recently, is that for anybody who goes to a site that's called Proof That God Exists, they're actually looking to see if I provide an adequate proof or not. But that means that they believe that proof is valid. Mm-hmm. And in order for proof to be valid, you have to have laws of logic. You have to have, they have to be universal and invariant. So, and they're also abstract. So people who visit the site are looking for a proof, so that means that they acknowledge proof exists. However, when you try to press them on that, ask them, well, what is your basis for logic? What is your basis for, you know, these universal laws? Then they don't have an answer.
That's interesting. If you are an atheist and you are listening to the broadcast this morning, we invite your call. We'd like to chat with you about this website. In fact, we'd like to just take you through it. Because it's kind of an interactive website where you, almost like a video game, where if you do good, you get to the top level. but I'm looking at the homepage right now. Oh, let me give out our phone number once again, 800-466-1873, taking your calls, especially if you're an atheist. If you're a Christian, you're welcome to call in also if you'd like to make some comments, some observations, maybe you even disagree with the approach that Cy is taking here at proofthatgodexists.org. But if you'd like to chat with us, you can give us a call. Now, when you pull up the homepage, it asks you the question, what do you believe? And then there are four boxes. One says absolute truth exists. One says absolute truth does not exist. One says we cannot know if absolute truth exists. And the fourth one says, I don't care if absolute truth exists. I'm assuming that a lot of atheists, since a lot of the atheists that I interact with, they tend to have a chip on their shoulder. A lot of them are probably going to opt for number four to begin with. So if I click on number four, I don't care if absolute truth exists, that takes me to the exit page that says, thank you for visiting. And then you can click on exit, which actually takes you to the Disneyland website, Disney World. Now, why did you choose the Disney World website as an exit page for proofthatgodexists.org?
Well, actually, I was thinking, whenever you see a Super Bowl football game and they interview the quarterback as he's running off the field, he's all happy, and they said, what are you going to do now? He says, I'm going to Disneyland. And I figure, you know, that seems to be the place that even the Super Bowl winner wants to go to. So I figure if you don't believe that absolute truth exists, you might as well have some fun while you can.
There you go. Seems to be biblical. Seems to be the same conclusion that the Apostle Paul made in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay, so let's say that I come to the Disneyland website and I say, oh, okay, these guys are playing games with me. Let's go back to the homepage. Let me see. What were the choices again? Absolute truth exists. Absolute truth does not exist. We cannot know if absolute truth exists. If I'm an atheist, I'm probably going to opt for number three at this point. We cannot know if absolute truth exists. When I click on that one, it brings me to another page that says, we cannot know if absolute truth exists. Absolutely true or false? What have you got any feedback on this particular page?
Well, I thought it was interesting, the first caller that we had last time we did the show, John, he called in, and he went to this page, and he was telling us that it kept taking him back to the first page. But you have to click something in order to get back to the first page, and we didn't really press him on that. But he was clicking absolutely true until we caught him that, you know, we said, well, what are you clicking? And he said, and he stopped himself.
Right.
So, and when he realized what he was actually making, an absolute truth claim, then he said it was a loaded question. But he sure didn't think that all the other times he was clicking on it. So
when he, now that makes sense. Because it says we cannot know if absolute truth exists. If I'm not paying close attention and I'm not being consistent in my thinking as an atheist, I might tend to say absolutely true. Which if I click on absolutely true, that takes me back to the homepage. Because now I'm acknowledging that absolute truth does exist because I just made an absolute truth claim.
Surprisingly, I've met people who think it's a glitch in the site, and I didn't think that would be possible, but it does seem to happen, and I'm wondering whether I should even dumb it down more.
Maybe you should put, this is not a glitch. Maybe you should put, this is not a glitch in the site. This is a glitch in your atheist. This is a glitch in your atheistic worldview.
That might not be a bad idea. I'll certainly consider that.
Yeah, that would be kind of funny. Because, yeah, if they think it's a glitch, I mean, they don't get it. Mm-hmm. They're living inconsistently with their worldview. See, this is what, as Christians, this is what we try to do. And this is especially something that we try to do on the Narrow Mind broadcast. We try to demonstrate to the unbeliever that not only is Christianity true, and we believe that Christianity has the hard answers of life, provides all the tough answers to the tough questions, I should say, the answers to the tough questions, but we also believe that if somebody rejects Christianity, it's impossible for them to live consistently within the framework, within a worldview that excludes Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And I think that's one of the main points of this website also. So I'm okay, so I come back. Let's say that I'm an atheist. I stumble onto the site. You sent me over to the Disneyland website. Okay, I don't, you know, okay, I'll play your game here for a moment. I come back. Now I opt to choose number three. We cannot know if absolute truth exists. Obviously, when I acknowledge that we cannot know, I'm acknowledging that there are things that we can know. For example, we can know that we cannot know that absolute truth exists.
That's right. Yeah, people tend to stumble over that, and John, that caller last time, he just would not acknowledge that. And I do have some, like some people say, well, absolute truth doesn't exist. Truth actually exists on a scale. So then my question is it absolutely true that truth exists on a scale?
Right.
You cannot escape the question of absolute truth.
No, you can't. And what's interesting is that atheists all the time, unbelievers, agnostics, whatever you want to call them, they're just unbelievers. They're, rejectors of God, whatever form they come in. They speak in terms of the existence of truth.
Right.
Even when they demand proof, when an atheist says, prove to me that I can trust the Bible, or prove to me that the Bible is the Word of God. Well, by that very request, they are already acknowledging that there is something that is provable, that there is something as evidence, there is something that will allow us to work our way, given the evidence and the reasons for belief. There is this idea, this underlying concept that we can work toward the goal of truth, and we can arrive at the truth.
I've also had people call in or talk to me about this, and when they approach the subject of absolute truth, they say, well, there may be absolute truth, it's just that we don't know what it is. And I ask them, is that absolutely true?
Mm.
So it's just something that you cannot escape.
You just take it back one step.
That's right.
And they're stuck again.
And some people have said, well, the only absolute truth is that absolute truth does not exist.
Well, then they believe in absolute truth then.
And then I ask them, is that statement absolutely true? So that's right. You just keep backing up and you end up with absolute truth.
Yeah, if somebody says the only absolute truth is that absolute truth does not exist, or we can't know if absolute truth exists, they've actually just contradicted themselves.
Right. And the funny thing is, this is not even part of the proof. This is just a welcome to the site. And I didn't think that this would trip anybody up, but it seems to be tripping a lot of people. Because I think that they think, as soon as they admit that there's absolute truth, then they think that's the proof, while God exists. And to some degree it is, but it is not the truth. That is not the proof that I'm using on the site.
Okay, so let's say that I go through the site now. I've come back twice to the homepage, which I'm sure happens quite often. And I decide to say, okay, absolute truth does not exist. So I'm avoiding that first choice there, absolute truth exists, because I know that Christians are always telling me that absolute truth exists. So let me click on absolute truth does not exist. Absolute truth does not exist, absolutely true or false. So once again, you have forced them to make a decision about their claim that absolute truth does not exist.
Right.
And if I click on absolutely true, we're back to the homepage.
You have that same glitch in the site.
That's funny. You know what? I really don't think that we're going to get any calls from any unbelievers, because, quite frankly, there's no way to look good when you are measured against the standard of absolute truth. You're just going to be seen as a walking contradiction. You're going to look foolish. And there's really no way to... I mean, if an atheist is to call up this program, He has everything to lose and nothing to gain.
That's right.
If I was an atheist listening to this program, I'd be much more comfortable just sitting back listening, hoping that somebody could crack the code for me.
And yet, it's amazing how many forums out there are started based on this website, and what they call, they end up saying is how stupid I am. So my web tracker, it allows me to see who links to my site, so I usually join up that forum, and I say, well, here I am, tell me how stupid I am. And sometimes they're apologetic, and they say, well, they really want to have a good discussion. But actually, I've been to some of these atheist forums, and I say, well, I'm going to be taking phone calls on such and such a date. Why don't you call in and tell me how stupid I am? And I guess you can see how many people are doing that.
Now, are these atheist forums? Or?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any of them that we might recognize?
Well, I'm not sure. I've been banned from a few of them as well, so let me just
It must have been from your was it your profanity that you're using or your insults?
I was too stupid.
You were too stupid to participate.
Yeah. It's funny because these forums, you have to accept their terms, and one of them is that you're not allowed to be too stupid. And I guess my argument is too stupid, and nobody seems to want to call in and tell me how stupid it is. But one of them was raving atheist forums. I did a number of posts on that one, and the one that I'm currently involved in is called skepticalcommunity.com. Mm. And there's a few of them. Lankyland.com, I think that one's out of Australia. It's amazing all over the world that people actually find the site, and a lot of them have found it through your website and through the radio broadcast, which I really appreciate. Like, I have people from China, Indonesia, Brazil, Latvia, Honduras, all over the world visiting, and I think most of my links actually come from your website, which I really appreciate.
That's great. That's great. Have you heard any conversion stories? Has anybody come to the website as an unbeliever and then progress to acknowledge that they can't hold on to their contradictory worldview anymore?
Well, there was a fellow in Australia, and I believe you're acquainted with the family as well. They emailed you, and they've been working on this fellow for quite a while, and he was allowed to come to the website and look at the argument at his own time without having, a Christian browbeat him with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually came to know the Lord after visiting the site. And they found this site actually through your radio broadcast. So it was a nice way that God used the both of us in order to bring this fellow to the Lord. And I'm open. I hope that anybody who does come to the Lord through the site, or that God uses the site, that they let me know, because those types of things are very encouraging, and they give me motivation to move on.
Is there a contact email address here on the site for you?
To contact me?
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the beauties of the site, is that you have to progress through it and actually admit that God exists before you get my email address. And so then you finally navigate to the main page, which you can save as a favorite and come back, because I do answer a number of questions once you admit that God exists. But the funny thing about that is I get some angry emails from atheists, and the first thing I ask them is, didn't you have to admit God exists in order to email me? So they're not too happy about that either.
So you've got them tricked, huh?
I don't know if it's really a trick, because everybody does know that God exists, but I probably take too much pleasure in the fact that they have to click on the fact that God exists before they can contact me.
Have you had anybody accuse you of unethical practices?
No, it hasn't gone that far yet, because that's one thing about the presuppositional argument. It is bulletproof. So if I take them just to the basics that that I lay out in the site here, mm-hmm. that they really have no argument, and I try and stick to the basics as much as possible. There's so often they want to drag me into evidential arguments, mm-hmm. and I try to resist that. But I know that even Jesus showed his wounds to Thomas, and that was a sign of his grace. And I think there are some times that, not to convince people that God exists, because I think that's unbiblical, but if they have an issue with a certain piece of evidence, then I will entertain the evidential argument, because there are some very good ones for Christians.
Sure.
But I like to pull them back to the presuppositional argument.
Sure. All right, well, we're talking about atheism on this Atheistic Wednesday. We're talking about the website Proof That God Exists. We'll be back in just a moment. If you'd like to call in, our number, 800-466-1873.
My life is brilliant. Was I too early? Oh, sorry. Should I? Do you want to start over or keep going? Okay. Now? Now?
My life is brilliant. Your life's a joke. You're just pathetic. You're always broke. Your homemade Star Trek uniform really ain't impressing me. You're suffering from delusions of adequacy. You're pitiful. You're pitiful. You're pitiful. It's true.
G'day, Pastor Cook. This is Andrew calling from Melbourne, Australia. And we listen to the Narrow Mind Down Under.
The Narrow Mind with Pastor Gene Cook Jr. Love him or hate him, you're still listening to him.
Booyah.
All right, we're back. We're talking to Cy, the owner of proofthatgodexists.org. You're out there, you're listening, you're a Christian, you have a friend who's an atheist. In fact, you have a lot of friends who are atheists, maybe not strong atheists or vocal atheists or atheists that have sat around and contemplated the atheistic worldview, but certainly you have friends that are unbelievers, that reject Christianity. Send them an email with a link to Cy's website, proofthatgodexists.org, and see what kind of response you get. Allow them to sit there and look at that thing and go through the steps and realize that they're either going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and also confess that they reject the only Lord of glory, or maybe if God blesses your efforts and by His grace sovereignly works in their hearts through His Spirit, they may be granted repentance. All right, let's go back to the website and take a look again. Now, let's go back to option number one. We're looking at the homepage. What do you believe? Let's say that at this point I'm totally frustrated. Absolute truth exists. Okay, you got me, Cy. Absolute truth exists. And so I click on Absolute Truth Exists. Would you like to read that page for us?
I'll read that for you.
Okay.
Now, I try to answer this in such a way so that people who have gone a roundabout way that they actually realize that it's not a glitch, although maybe they just don't like to read it. But anyhow, I'll start reading it. Yes, indeed, Absolute Truth Exists. Some of you have taken the roundabout way to that conclusion, but hopefully now you see the illogic of denying Absolute Truth absolutely. To say absolute truth does not exist, or we cannot know if absolute truth exists, are both claims to know that something is absolutely true, and therefore self-refuting. Since you believe that absolute truth exists, we can look at the proof for the existence of the God of Christianity. Now, some people actually had difficulty with that line. You know, they thought, what does one have to do with the other? But really, if you don't believe that absolute truth exists, what sense is there even in progressing? So that's why I included that there.
Okay.
You have likely heard that it is impossible to prove that God exists, and that's something that I actually heard all my life as a Christian. Well, you heard wrong. Not only can the existence of God be proven, denying the proof undermines rational thought. It is true that God does not need anyone, let alone this website, to prove His existence. The Bible teaches that the existence of God is so obvious that we are without excuse for denying it. I offer these 8 steps to the logical proof of God's existence, only in addition to what you already know and may be suppressing. This website is not about money-grubbing, nausea-inducing TV evangelists in their gold-embroidered suits. See, that's one of the things that I want to make stress in this site, too. I'm not defending Christians, because there are some pretty miserable Christians out there, or so-called Christians. I'm defending Christianity. Okay, let me continue. And I will not attempt to justify unjust wars or the sinful actions of so-called Christians. This website is not about whether you are satisfied, happy, at peace, whether you are fed up with yourself or think you are a failure. This website is about truth. The truth that we are sinners, that we have defied God, that we have offended Him, denied His authority, and put ourselves in the wrong with Him. This website is about the eternal consequences of our sin, the judgment we deserve for our rebellion, and the only way we can be put right with God. if you are honest with what you truly believe. Now, that's kind of an interesting statement, too, because I have not met an honest atheist yet. I've met some that are very kind and, you know, they're pleasant with me, but when it comes right down to it, the Bible teaches that they're suppressing the truth, so their very stance is dishonest.
Mm.
So, and I'm surprised that I'm always surprised when they don't address these logical arguments honestly, but I suppose I shouldn't be. Okay, let me continue. This website will lead you to the proof that God exists. This website offers logical proof, not persuasion. That's another big issue with the site, is that people say, well, you haven't proven it to me. That's not the point.
Right.
I offer a proof, and it's not up to me to persuade people. That's solely up to God. Okay, it is my hope and prayer that God will renew your heart and use this site as a tool to help you understand your condition. Lay down your arms and accept the promise of salvation and the peace which passes all understanding. See, that's the thing. Those who do not accept Christ are actually rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
They're at enmity with him. It's not just that, well, you know, they'll make another decision and no, there's not enough proof, but they're actually rebellious and they have to lay down their arms.
Okay. So at this point, we can either exit the site or we can go to step one.
Right.
Now, if you exit the site, does that take you back to Disneyland?
It does indeed. Every time you exit, that's where it takes you. And that's one thing. Like, there's a lot of Christian sites out there, and there's very good ones as well, but mm-hmm. people can go to a page, and they're not confronted with any choice. But in this case, people who leave the site have to either deny that logic exists, or math, or morality, and it's my hope and prayer that they're actually at home, and they think about stuff like that. When they see somebody, you know, being arrested for rape, or there's been a lot of that in the news down here anyways, a child abducted, they know that these things are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that's just against their personal preference. And at least, you know, I have that knowledge that when they leave the site, they have denied something which they actually know to be true.
Okay, so if we click on go to step one, mm-hmm. we're taken to the next page. It says step one, laws of logic. In the introduction page, I mentioned logical proof. The first step towards that proof, or the proof that God exists, is to determine whether you actually believe that the laws of logic exist. Logical proof would be irrelevant to someone who denies the laws of logic exist. An example of a law of logic is the law of non-contradiction. This law states, for instance, that it cannot both be true that my car is in the parking lot and that it is not in the parking lot at the same time. So the question is, what do you believe? Laws of logic do not exist. Laws of logic exist. Now, I'm assuming that this is an easy one for an unbeliever or an atheist, because the existence of logic is also self-evident.
It tends to be easy, although there are other worldviews out there where they discount Western logic, Western view of logic. But, I mean, last time the people on the show were actually clicking on laws of logic exist, but just for interest's sake, let's see what happens if they click on the idea that laws of logic do not exist.
Okay, if you believe that laws of logic do not exist, how do you make decisions about the most basic things in life? How do you decide which side of the road to drive on? How do you choose whether to drink water or poison for nourishment? One interesting aspect of denying laws of logic, like the law of non-contradiction, is that since you do not believe in the laws of logic, you actually do believe in the laws of logic. If contradictions are allowed in your worldview, then so is that one. And so you have three boxes here. I used logic to come to the conclusion that the laws of logic do not exist. Number two, I came to the conclusion arbitrarily and next time may agree that the laws of logic exist. Okay, I believe that the laws of logic exist. So at choice number three, you've actually got their arm behind their back and you're pushing it up toward their shoulder blades.
Then it would take them to the next. Obviously, the first two selections will bring them back to the question whether they believe that laws of logic exist. Because either they believe they exist or they came to the conclusion that they don't exist completely arbitrarily. And then I'll just let them keep clicking on it until arbitrarily they pick that they do exist, and then they can continue in the site.
So let me go back here. If you click on I came to the conclusion arbitrarily,
right?
Then it just takes you back to step one.
To laws of logic, that's right.
Right. So maybe this time you're saying they will make the right choice arbitrarily.
If it's an arbitrary choice, then who knows? I mean, they could be clicking on the fact that laws of logic do not exist all day, but if it's arbitrary, one of those times they'll click on laws of logic do exist.
Okay, so if we click on laws of logic exist, that takes us to step two, laws of mathematics. The basic operations of arithmetic are addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Laws of mathematics, then, are basically descriptions of what happens within these operations, and more complex ones as well. For example, with the law of addition, we know that if you take four things and add them to three things, you end up with seven things. What do you believe? And so you have two choices now. Laws of mathematics exist. Laws of mathematics do not exist.
I've actually had people tell me to my face that they didn't believe that laws of mathematics existed. And then, so this is one scenario, because they may claim that, but they don't live consistently with it. So if they say that laws of mathematics do not exist, I give them a scenario that they might be confronted with in everyday life. Say, if you believe that laws of mathematics do not exist, what would you do in the following scenario? Let's say that you walk into a bank and ask for change for a $100 bill.
Mm-hmm.
If the teller handed you only two $5 bills, would you be satisfied with his or her personal interpretation of mathematics, or would you appeal to a universal law of mathematics to show that he or she was wrong? I suspect the latter. And I doubt that there's any atheist who would go to a bank with a $100 bill and walk out with 10 saying, well, I guess the laws of mathematics have just changed, that they don't really exist, and this person, they might be just as right as I am.
That's right. That's a good point. And so do you find that most atheists acknowledge that the laws of mathematics exist?
Most of them do. That's right. I usually don't have a problem with that. But, you know, I always get, I say, well, 2 plus 2 equals 4. And they say, that's not absolutely true, because in base 11 mathematics, it equals 3. And then I say, is it absolutely true that in base 11 mathematics, it equals 3 or whatever? I'm not exactly sure what the total is. But then, of course, you know, they're stuck with the absolute truth of mathematics again. It's just always, they try and put in smoke screens, but most of them come to the conclusion that laws of mathematics do in fact exist.
Yeah, if an atheist tells you that 2 plus 2 can sometimes equal 3,
mm-hmm.
ask them if they've got four $1 bills. And then you keep one and you hand them back three.
There you go. Because we operate in base 10 mathematics, but of course they always try and throw you a curve. But yeah, I'd love to do some financial dealings with somebody that doesn't believe that.
Yeah, that'd be a win-win situation. And how could they protest? They couldn't.
Absolutely.
Okay, so not only if you reject the truth that's contained in the website so far, not only are you going to have a contradictory worldview, but you're also going to have leaky pockets. you're not going to make it very far in the financial world. Okay, so we come to this page, step two, laws of mathematics. And so I click on laws of mathematics exist. That takes me to step three, laws of science. Laws of science are basically descriptions of what matter does based on repeated observations and are usually expressed in mathematical equations. An example of a law of science is the law of gravity. Using the law of gravity, we can predict how fast a heavier-than-air object will fall to the ground given all the factors for the equation. What do you believe? Laws of science exist. Laws of science do not exist. Now, I'm sure that there is no atheist or intelligent unbeliever out there that's going to say that laws of science don't exist, because they've really kind of bowed down to the god of science. If you, the only way that you can reject Christianity is by appealing to something else. And most of the time, in fact, I would venture to say all the time, if you've got a thinking person that you're talking to, at some point, they're going to appeal to science. They're going to appeal to evolution, which is, you know, associated with science, although I would say that it's not science. Nevertheless, it's something that's believed and accepted within the scientific community. So have you, I guess my question at this point, Cy, is do you have a way of tracking when somebody comes to the website? Is there any way that you have of actually tracking their progression through the website?
I do. I find that most people actually click both options just to see what is said, so it's really difficult to see what people actually do believe, because I think even Christians, they want to know the argument against people who deny laws,
right?
And they want to be able to use them. So I think just about everybody clicks everything in the site so they can see that. But you know, the thing you say about laws of science, that you expect atheists to acknowledge them, but then you would also expect them to be consistent, because when a Christian uses the idea that there are laws of science, then they're not so supportive of the laws of science anymore. Like, I've had people tell me, well, the laws of gravity are not universal. What about up on the moon? I said, it's the same law.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the gravity is different, but the law is the same.
Right. That's a good point. It all depends on gravitational pull, right? I mean, and there's a specific formula for the Earth, just right. as there would be a specific formula for the Moon. That's how
it's
come
the same
we can
formula,
we can
right?
land on the Moon and not just float away, because we've been able to figure out what's going to be able to touch down and what's not.
All of science is based on induction. It's the predictability, the repeatability of nature. And one thing that I might include on the site, because it's a very simple proof, is Greg Bonson's toothpaste proof of God's existence.
Mm-hmm.
He says he hopes that most people out there brush their teeth. And why do they expect toothpaste to come out when they squeeze the tube? And they say, well, because it's always come out when I've squeezed it in the past. But that only makes sense if nature is uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that you cannot say nature is uniform because it's always been in the past, because you want to know what would happen in the future. And the thing is, the atheist is so convicted that nature is uniform that if they squeeze the tube and toothpaste doesn't come out, they don't say, well, the laws of science must have changed. They look in the tube to see what's plugging it, or they go out and buy another tube because it's empty.
So what would you say to the atheist who says, well, the Christian doesn't know the future either? The Christian also bases his future experiences on his past experiences.
Well, I would say that the Christian can know the future because God has made the world in such a way that we can have dominion over it, that seed time and harvest will follow in the proper order. And the Bible tells us that. And, you know, we can trust God that he made the world in such a way that if nature was not uniform, we would not be able to do the things that God tells us that we are able to do for him on this earth.
Now, what about the objection? Well, okay, so even if you are right, Cy, how does that prove the Christian God? I mean, this could mean that Islam is true, or that Mormonism is true,
right.
or that even some Eastern religions are true.
Yeah, those are the kind of things that I address later on this site in the other worldview section.
Okay.
However, what we do then is we do an internal critique of any other religion that makes similar claims. And the truth of the matter is that there are not very many religions that actually make similar claims of a personal revelation of a personal God. And the one that does, for instance, Islam, we would look at that. And then we would do a critique of the Quran itself, for instance. Like, the Quran acknowledges that the Bible is true. And they say that the Quran is a further revelation of the Bible. But the Bible itself talks about further revelations not being able to contradict the Bible.
Mm.
So when the Quran contradicts the Bible, saying that Jesus was not crucified, and there are many things in the Quran that contradict the Bible, that refutes itself. And there are also Islamic teachings that say that Allah is unknowable, that you cannot write anything about him because he's so unknowable. But that very statement refutes the Quran because it's all about him.
That's right. All right, let's take a look at step four, absolute moral laws. I have seldom heard anyone deny that the laws of logic, mathematics, or science exist, but I have often heard people deny the existence of absolute moral laws. Whereas laws of logic, science, and mathematics describe reality and how things do behave, absolute moral laws describe how humans ought to or ought not to behave. Rape and child molestation are two examples of absolute moral wrongs. Some people argue that in some societies they could envision those atrocities being right. As ridiculous as this sounds, I feel that the best test to determine whether or not you believe in absolute moral laws is not in whether you feel that these things could be right in another society, but whether they could ever be right if perpetrated against you or someone you love. What do you believe? Absolute moral laws exist? Absolute moral laws do not exist? And so, this has got to be definitely probably the point that most atheist
right.
unbelievers are going to bail out. They're going to say, no, I cannot concede that there is something such as absolute moral law. So let's click on absolute moral laws do not exist. We go to the next page. If you truly believe that there was no such thing as an absolute morality, then there would be no right or wrong. Just things that you or your society happen not to like. Rape and child molestation would not be wrong. They would just become man-made objections. The question then becomes, if man is the measure of all things, which man? Which society? If someone with enough power happened to like rape and molestation, what right would we have to impose our morality on him? What would be wrong with the person or society with the power imposing their morality on you? Why do we condemn Nazi society for following their self-imposed morals? Why did the Nazi society not have the right to break from the tradition of morality in Western civilizations? There is no question that societies have different interpretations of morality, but if you examine the following sentence, you will see the illogic of thinking that societies determine morality. And the sentence is, the majority of the people in our society participated in that evil deed. If morality was up to society, that sentence would never make sense. But we know that morality is beyond societies, and such a proposition is possible. You have denied that absolute moral laws exist, but you appeal to them all the time. You say that rape is wrong because you know that it is wrong, and not just against your personal preference. Unless you reconsider your stand on this matter, your road to this site's proof that God exists ends here. It is my prayer that you will come to understand how inconsistent and irrational this line of thinking is, and return and seek the truth. And now you're left with two choices, either back or exit. Let's choose back. And that takes us to, once again, step four, absolute moral laws, and what do you believe? Do absolute moral laws exist? Okay, let's say this time around we're going to choose step four, that absolute moral laws do exist. That text takes us to step five, the nature of laws. By reaching this page, you have acknowledged that laws of logic, mathematics, science, and absolute morality exist. Next, we will examine what you believe about these laws. Are these laws material, or are they immaterial? In other words, are they made up of matter, or are they abstract entities? Are they physical or non-physical things? And then you have two choices here. One is that all of these laws are immaterial, and the other is that all these laws are material. Now, you'd have to be pretty stupid. And by the way, it says here at the bottom, you have Proverbs 12:1 quoted, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. You'd have to be pretty stupid to think that the laws of science, the laws of morality, and the laws of mathematics are material, would you not?
Yeah, I realize we're running out of time here, but I got a great story about that. That this is taught in some schools, that professors actually believe that these laws are material in nature, that we have no control over them, that we're just subjects of whatever is going on in our minds. But the story that I heard is, let's say that a professor is teaching something like this, and he gives a final exam and he catches a student cheating on his exam. Now, I'm sure that that student would be punished.
Right.
And that would be contrary to what the professor is teaching, because really, if these things are material and they have no control over them, then he shouldn't be punished.
That's true, because he's only acting according to the way that his mind should act.
That's right. So they live inconsistently. Like a professor could even teach that, but I'm sure someone caught cheating in the exam would be in trouble.
I'm sure they would, too. Okay, so let's say that they agree that the laws of logic and all the other laws that have been mentioned here are immaterial. So they click on that one. That takes them over to step number six. You want to explain to us step number six?
Sure. I ask here, let me read it. You have knowledge that the laws of logic, mathematics, science, and absolute morality exist and that they are not material. The next question is whether you believe they are universal or up to the individual. Does 2 plus 2 equal 4 only where you are and only because you say it does, or is this a universal law? Now, this is really an important question when it comes to laws, because if laws are only up to the individual, they're not laws at all, because then I could just make up my own.
Good point. Very good point. All right, so if we click on step seven, the nature of laws.
Right.
You have acknowledged the laws of logic, mathematics, and the next question, basically after you acknowledge these things, next question is whether you believe they're changing or unchanging. You click on unchanging, and that takes us to, I guess, what you would call step eight page. Proof that God exists. To reach this page, you had to acknowledge that immaterial, universal, unchanging laws of logic, mathematics, science, and absolute morality exist. Universal, immaterial, unchanging laws are necessary for rational thinking to be possible. Universal, immaterial, unchanging laws cannot be accounted for if the universe was random or only material in nature. The Bible teaches us that there are two types of people in this world, those who profess the truth of God's existence and those who suppress the truth of God's existence. The options of seeking God or not believing God are unavailable. The Bible never attempts to prove the existence of God. It declares that the existence of God is so obvious that we are without excuse for not believing in Him. Now, you quote Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, and then you go on to say, only in a universe governed by God can universal, immaterial, unchanging laws exist. Only in a universe governed by God can rational thinking be possible. We use rational thinking to prove things. Therefore, step 8, the proof that God exists is the proof that God exists is that without Him you couldn't prove anything. Continue.
Right.
Now, this is what we would call the altar call page. Note that the proof of God, note that proof does not say that professed unbelievers do not prove things. The argument is that you must borrow from the Christian worldview, and a God who makes universal, immaterial, unchanging laws possible in order to prove anything. In logic, this type of proof is called transcendental logic, or the transcendental impossibility, or the impossibility of the contrary, where God is the basis for any rational thought. Only the Christian worldview can logically support rationality. Now, is that a link that you have there?
Yeah, the thing is, a lot of people want to know, well, how does the Christian then support these laws? So if you click on that, I mean, we don't have the time for it now, but I provide the biblical verses that allow us to account for universals, for abstracts, right, and for unchanging entities.
Okay. And now you've got two options. I believe that God exists. I do not believe that God exists.
Right.
So if somebody comes to this point, basically they're going to have to either acknowledge that God exists, or they're going to have to continue to suppress the truth and unrighteousness. So let's say that I'm an atheist. I click on, I do not believe that God exists. Basically, you take them back and you show them. Let me see here. Denying the existence of God is not unbelief, but an exercise in self-deception. So you basically point out to them that they're going to have to live in tension with what they really know in their heart of hearts. And they're not going to be consistent in the world in which they live in as it relates to things like mathematics and science and morality and the use of logic.
That's right. I basically say that, like most atheists say, that, well, we don't know where these things come from, but we'll know eventually. I say, well, you live on blind faith, and
right,
that's exactly what you're accusing Christians of. And the line that I really like here is that they argue against God's existence would be on par with argue against the existence of air, breathing it all the while.
Mm.
See, and that's what they do. They use these laws, and yet they deny the only possible source for them.
All right, Si, we are out of time.
Mm-hmm.
I always enjoy having you on. I enjoy talking about this subject because I think what it does is it really sharpens us up. And I think it also bolsters our faith as believers. When you begin really to see how irrefutable the Christian worldview is, it really gives you a boost in your faith. I mean, it really, I think, gives you confidence in reaching out to unbelievers. Si, thanks for coming on once again, and may the Lord continue to bless your website there.
Thanks, Gene.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you around.
Bye-bye.
Okay, once again, if you have a friend, a family member, a loved one, send them a link to proofthatgodexists.org and tell them to honestly go through it and to be honest with themselves and see what kind of results you have. If you have a story to share with us, just wait till our next time that we have open phones, probably maybe sometime next week. I don't know, since I'm not making my own schedule anymore. But we will be having an open phone show coming up soon, I'm sure. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to know, what kind of response did you get to this website? Or you can always send us an email at unchainedradio@unchainedradio.com. Let us know how things are going, what kind of response you got to this website. Now, what is today? Today is Wednesday. That means tomorrow we're going to be talking about covenant theology on our Covenant Theology Thursday. I will have with me in studio, Lord willing, pastors Jason Robertson and Scott Hill from Murrieta Valley Church once again. We'll be continuing our conversation on the covenant of grace. I invite you to come back and join that conversation. If you've missed the shows already, I have immensely enjoyed the discussion that's taken place so far. We've both been challenged, and I think our understanding of God's Word has been expanded. So tune in tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for The Narrow Mind. Until then, may the Lord bless the study of His Word.
the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son and make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss! The Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.